And now, live from Pod Cabin in Burbank, California, it's the Allison Rosen is your new best friend show tonight. Allison welcomes her guests. He's from my personal favorite podcast, Never Not Funny, as their co-host slash on-air producer. You know, kind of the me of that show, except he's actually good at speaking. It's Matt Belknap. Plus, she's a comedian, writer, and actress, and if that wasn't enough, she brought her adorable little dog to the show. It's Eliza Skinner. Husband Daniel is here to claim he's not a Swiftie, but will then talk about her for 30 minutes straight. I'm producer Tony saying grab your best pair of prom socks and say hello to your new best friend, Allison Rosen.
Allison Rosen is your new best friend. Allison, with her good times never end. Allison Rosen, doing the wavy pencil dance again. Allison's your new best friend.
Hello, my little maple frosted donuts. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is your new best friend. That particular carbohydrate was sent in on Patreon. By Denise Breen. And yes, I am on Patreon. All sorts of fun stuff over there. Daniel and I just did an Ask Us Anything episode. And then we also talked about lots of other stuff. And then today I'm going to record, actually by the time you hear this, I will have already recorded and uploaded an episode where I'm going to tell a story that's too hot for the general release.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's got intrigue, it's got gossip, it's got conflict, it has it all, guys. It's got stakes, it's got guest stars. It's really more than you could ever hope for. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Also, there's a level where you can text me and I'll text you back. Do an annual subscription and get 2 months free.
That's a good deal.
I'd like to say hello to my guests on this, which is the third Tony's Picks episode of 2024. Hello, Matt Belknap. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. Hi. How's it going?
Wonderful to see you.
Good to see you.
I think this is actually your first time on the show. You and Tony did... Excuse me. You and Jimmy came over here
yes.
to talk one time.
I've been in this room, this domicile.
You guys came over and you said, that's what this is. You said, this town isn't big enough for both of our podcasts. And we had a duel.
Yeah.
But we are breaking bread. Is that what you do when you... We're mending fences?
Sure.
And breaking bread.
We're doing it all.
We're
handing bread over the fence.
Mm.
Yes. I hope there's ducks over there on the other side to pick up our bread. And anyway, wonderful to see you.
Yeah,
Eliza Skinner, hello.
Hello.
Wonderful to see you.
Thank you. Likewise.
This is my first time meeting Boo.
Yes. Thank you.
He's
for
adorable.
Letting me bring him.
Of course.
He's been a basket case recently about me leaving. So I try to find the opportunities where I can bring him along.
Well, just remember, Never Not Funny would not let you do this.
It's true. Yeah, Jimmy's very allergic.
It's or so he says.
Angrily allergic.
Yeah. Daniel, hello.
Hi.
How goes it?
Is Jimmy angry at dogs for his allergy?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about cats. Like, I can appreciate cats, but I'm pissed.
Like, you don't like them because you're allergic
exactly.
to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do this to me.
Well, you know they do it on purpose. They can choose.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's they release their
they look at me and they're like,
dander.
No.
They're like, he's going to get it.
Well,
flowers
like
do
it.
That, too. You think flowers release their pollen just for everyone? No.
Just to piss me off.
That's right. Hello, Tony.
Hi.
I just enjoyed it so much. I just enjoy that so much. I
it
can't
seemed
believe...
to take you to another place, honestly.
I was transported. Can we hear it again? I want to be transported again. Yeah. It like really puts me on a delay. Anyway, I'm back. Can we hear your one from the year before? The 2 years before?
The drop?
As opposed to what is that
well,
song?
Well, no, because I thought you were talking about a song, and I was like, there wasn't there a
song? No, there,
wasn't
there was also your Tony's Picks just from a couple
Tony's
years ago.
Tony's Picks.
Oh, I like that.
Which one do you like better, though? The new one, like, you hear the whatever that stuff is at the beginning, and then you think, oh, it's going away, and then it kicks in like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I feel like the newer one also It lowers the bar. Let's just be honest. It's like, hey, you know, this might be Chuck E. Cheese fun, or it might be one balloon fun. It's
right.
Not like, get into it, get in this car, we're going 0 to 100 on the fun town.
Yeah.
Like the
no,
old
this
one.
Is like, we're taking surface streets,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and the car, the door might fall off.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a fun way.
I'm responsible for this show, basically, and mm-hmm. so I got to set the bar low, yeah. and just in case.
I feel like you definitely did that in your intro.
Hey now.
Damn.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Wow. No, wow. Sorry. That came out so wrong. That came out so wrong. Let me rephrase. The intro was wonderful.
Thanks.
But you said that unlike you, Matt Belknap actually knows how to speak into a microphone. And I was like, that's a little harsh to yourself.
Yeah. Be nice to yourself, man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey,
also,
don't say that about
I'm
my
not
friend
that great.
Tony.
I just, yeah, see, you say something to me and I'm like, I don't know what to say to that.
Right.
So yeah.
I
right.
do wonder what prom socks are.
Okay.
Is this an ongoing thing?
Well,
no, it's become something that I can't stop laughing about. Who was it who Todd Cooper. Do you know him? He's Tony's friend. And they did Feliz Navipod together and he's a musician.
Oh, I haven't met him.
So his life hack tip is like every, what, 6 months?
I forget what, yeah.
He has some time interval. Every whatever this is, he just throws out all his socks and gets all new socks. He resets his socks. Then the look on your yes. What's your reaction?
I'm horrified.
Why?
I love my socks. I'm really into socks. For a while, I was really brand loyal to one, and then now I've been making my own socks because I'm a knitter. I do knitting.
Oh my god!
So, like, if I was to throw out my socks and replace them, that would first of all be incredibly expensive, mm-hmm. and second of all, I would lose a lot of the socks that I really like.
Okay. Well, this is. I mean, you're the perfect foil. I wish. No offense. I wish Todd was here. No offense, Matt.
I mean, offended. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was even feeling that. I don't know him, but I still felt it in my soul.
Because he brings it. He talks about socks. I mean, you're the exact opposite of him because he was saying like...
Is he like a tube sock? Like a get a bag of them at the store kind of guy?
I don't know exactly.
That was what he... Yeah.
Yeah.
And just get all the exact same ones.
Right.
Yeah,
like, don't form emotional relationships with your socks is essentially what he was saying.
Mm.
And I was saying, I feel like this would be hard for me because, and it sounded crazy when I said it, except Eliza, I feel like you're kind of saying the same thing. I was like, I've had emotional attachments to my socks. And then Tony said, not even trying to be funny, what? Are they like the socks you wore to prom?
I caught myself as it was leaving my mouth, but yeah.
So hence yeah. prom socks. Yeah, there. And I said, no, my prom socks are framed, of course.
I will say I was imagining, I just realized I have been imagining what prom socks would be.
And what would they be?
They'd be ankle socks. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe like a blue, assuming you're wearing like a blue dress.
Like dyed to match.
Yeah, exactly. So they're small, they're classy, they're out of the way, you know?
Yes.
I don't mean to jump the gun on segments, but this is like, you have a segment coming up later, I think. And this is a thing for me. Like I'm not doing it as much as I used to, but I would number or letter or put symbols on my socks.
My dad used to do that.
Because I want the ones that start together, I want them to always be.
Even if they're also a bag of socks kind of guy,
yeah, that's,
right?
I would buy a big bag and then label them. So I'm like, these two are always together because you see it. If you have white socks,
yeah.
some of them, they have different experiences, and then they start looking different.
You look down, and you're wearing a white sock and a gray sock.
Yeah, like, why is this one a little brown, and this one's not?
Or even black socks, you know, some get washed more,
yes.
so the wear is different. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would keep them together through, I would write, like I was really obsessed with the Lakers, so I'd write, like, Laker player numbers on the toes, and they was always like, these are the Kobe's, and these are the Derek Fisher's, and, like, it would just stay that way until they were done. But I now I just buy more different looking socks, so I don't really have to worry about it.
That's
so,
what you got to do. Yeah.
It's different. So interesting because I feel like everyone's sock journey is really their own at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, it's such a personal thing. Like, that's why I like fanciful-ish socks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I also have a lot of particulars. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes whimsical, sometimes startling. You know, it depends on the day.
What, like, are their political views questionable? What's happening
No,
here?
No, but they'll be, like, brighter colors.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But because all day long, whatever's happening, I have this little, it's like a little secret, hey, we're having fun today. It's like a like it's gonna be an okay day, kiddo, just for me.
When I got to come back to socks, but okay. I will just say,
you gotta.
People would never leave me alone if I didn't. They'd be like,
know.
Wait, what was she gonna say? And I'm just gonna make a little note to myself.
Oh, good, thank you.
Sock talk. Where's the drop, Tony?
Yeah.
Sock talk.
It's shocking. No.
When I worked at Time Out New York, there was a period there where I was unhappy. And I'll just say it because I've talked before about how I loathe this person. This new guy came in and he was suddenly my boss. And I don't know if he was younger than I am, but yes, he was. And I just, this is a shortcoming in me. I will admit it. If I had been smart and political about the situation, it's like the new editor-in-chief installed this dingleberry and I need to kiss his ass. Mm-hmm. But that was like a bridge. I didn't even see it clearly. I didn't all I saw was, hey, I thought I was going to be promoted into that role. I know that I could do it and I don't like having to answer to this guy. Like a really big blind spot on my part. But anyway, so he really loathed me and I was not happy there for a little while. And I remember shopping and I was like, I'm going to buy new fun mechanical pencils. That's going to get me through. Which was so sad. And I'm not saying that you having a secret in your shoe is sad, but it did remind me of that a little bit.
My problem with that is that too many people in offices like, you'll lose those. Other people, you'll see other people walking around with those pencils. Did that happen? Where other people, take your pencils? Your happy
they
pencils?
They actually didn't. Oh, but I realized pretty quickly that I didn't like the pencils I bought anyway. They were fun and glittery, but the grip was like too spongy. So I think they were dud pencils anyway. But I know what you mean. Seeing someone else with your item, like that's a no can do.
Every time I've found a pen that I'm like, wow, this really improves my life. I'm like, well, say goodbye to it, Eliza, because if you buy more of them, they're just going away.
Yeah,
it's like that Amy Mann song, you know?
Is it about
I met you? Would you object to never seeing each other again?
Yes.
But about a pen.
So back to socks, Tony. Yep. People just tune back in.
Yes.
You're saying what you realized, your hack is, and I don't know why I'm saying hack so often, but am I? Andrew Huberman? Your thing is now you buy matching unusual socks that are different. And whereas my thing is like, why not just buy, and for the kids too, only one kind of sock so that I don't have to go through piles of laundry to try to find matching socks.
Well, when it comes to your kids, I'm socks for me, not for thee. That's how I do. Like, I don't care what they do. Like, it's as long as whatever makes it easier for laundry is what I'm down with for them. But it doesn't matter because like socks come into your life, socks go out. Like there you can never have
Eliza
a perfect set.
Subscribe to that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But with kids, they wear out. They get holes. Like you can't.
I hear
just
their
keep
feet
them.
Grow too.
That's also true. Yeah. Yes. Eventually.
No matter how much you try to prevent it. Let's talk about these socks that you knit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us everything, please.
Are you wearing them
now?
Are
you sure?
I can't see.
Well,
don't
tell
you
us
want this to be an interesting podcast?
No, it's never been my concern. Well, just tell us some of it. I mean, I'm imagining like a thick crocheted kind of sock situation.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it depends. You have to use really little, really skinny yarn. Mm-hmm. So it's not that far off from the type that, you know, you buy. Uh-huh. But it's,
poor boo.
I have made some that are just regular kind of tubes with a little heel, but recently I've been getting into some more patterned lacy kind.
Oh, like prom socks.
Prom socks, yeah. It's really more for the journey, not the destination with sock knitting especially. Because yes, you could buy socks cheaper and much more easily. But when I'm sitting around watching TV, I'm going to be too antsy if I'm not doing something. Mm. And this time of year, I can't be knitting scarves and hats. It's LA.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it sucks.
Do you use like really skinny little knitting needles?
Little teeny tiny. You know, I almost brought, because I bring my knitting everywhere the same way I'll like bring a book everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I almost brought them, but I brought the dog instead.
Well, I'm going to need to see a picture of these socks. So Daniel and I had an eventful weekend. We went to the Renaissance Fair. And we also went
Turkey
the year
legs?
Before. I've been to the Renaissance Fair now a number of times, even though I'm not a classic Ren Fair person. by any stretch. But I've never had one of the turkey legs. I've just seen them. They're emblematic of the Ren Faire, but not for me. Yeah. But I will say, because last year we got there like at 4, and there was only time to enjoy it for a couple hours, which was perfect for me. This year we got there earlier, and I was very over it for the last couple hours we were there. In fact, on our way out, the Queen was making a speech, and Daniel wanted to stop.
We were at a spot where they were exiting, and so we were like right where they were going to walk past us, and so I just wanted the boys.
But they had been walking past, whoever they is, had been walking past us the entire day. The entire day we've been surrounded.
But they were doing
costume.
Something different this time. One of the guys was passing out roses to the people, and I wanted the boys. We're right there, so I was like, "Hey, look." It was like that. It was like, hey, guys, look, not a big deal. Do you hear how not a big deal that is? Like, hey, look. Like,
for
whatever.
Me.
But it's very casual.
It's like, hey, look, right? Yeah. Nothing
like
to get upset about.
All day you've been waiting. You really have to go to the bathroom. And now the door is right there. And then someone's like, hey, let's hold on to watch 45 people wearing a costume say something.
Isn't that all a Ren Faire is?
Yes. But I didn't need to pee the entire time until that, and metaphorically. Right. Yeah. So at that point, and then I felt guilty because I was preventing. What'd you say?
I said good.
Yeah, because I was preventing the kids, especially when
I killjoy over here.
Yeah, I was. But anyway, I don't know. What did you think of it this year?
You know, same as last year. It's always amusing how there's 15,000 different ideas of what Ren Faire means to people. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got like the people who've studied the period, you know, and are like moving the way people and dressed exactly the way. And then you've got personal mythologies being expressed and
Dungeons and Dragons-y kind of.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I even overheard someone say, hey, someone said to someone else, do you play D&D? And I was like, that is so on the nose.
Yeah. But then there was like,
do you need to ask? You're at the Ren Faire.
There was,
I think they were looking for consent. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a couple of standouts. One is there's this woman who was there last year. I'm assuming she works for the Ren Faire, and she's a jester, and she goes around and I think what she has is like some sort of a zzz thing in her mouth that she holds under her tongue. You can't see it, but when she talks, her voice becomes this pitch that is like impossible for the human voice. And it's like, I can't even do it. And it is.
I didn't even hear it. It was impossible for me to hear.
It was so disturbing. I mean, like, there's something about being confronted with a person who is like an adult eccentric. You know, I think she worked for the Ren Faire. You wouldn't have this feeling if you were at Disneyland and you saw Goofy. So I shouldn't have this experience, except it's just like an adult woman coming up to me talking in this high pitch, and it's like, I was like, get the fuck out of here. So
I felt that way about the people on stilts. You're too tall.
So speaking of which, so then there was another person who was on stilts, and he had a black cloak on, and then a deer skull face, it looked like, or something like that, with horns. But he was up high. It was really creepy.
Did he have the arm stilts also?
No, he had his normal hands because he had them sort of done in a way, and he had a lantern, I think, in one hand, and he would beckon the children closer to him. And of course, our kids went right up, and he gave them these like coins, these black coins with these runes on them,
or as Owen says, rue. Where's my rue?
And explain that he was a Wendigo.
I thought it's Wendigo.
No, I don't think so. And here's the thing: it was awesome, very cool. A Wendigo is Native American mythology, and the runes are Germanic. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of that happening at the Ren Faire. A lot of just whatever is neat.
Sounds like he wanted to wear his stilts and yes. deer skull and was like, it's like Halloween when you didn't plan, and that day you're like, I have a black dress.
Yes.
I guess I can be a fortune teller or a witch.
It was very much like that. Yeah, Elliot just went into his costume crate and pulled out a few things, and he was sort of a road warrior kind of, you know, who cares.
And then he wanted us the whole ride to the Renaissance Fair. Elliot wanted us to help come up with a name for who he is.
And we kept coming up with names. He was like, no, something cool.
He wants something cool. And so then we're like, I said Jesse. One of us said Jesse. I guess I said Jesse. And he's like, no. And you're like, Jesse is cool. Like Jesse James. And he's like, okay, I'll be Jesse James.
Yeah.
So we decided he was Jesse James.
And my last thought about it was like how much I didn't realize the extent to which the Ren Faire is really for adults who want to go and drink and probably have weird sex parties or something after. Like, there's
I feel like it's for, no offense to people who go all the time, which is us at this point. I feel like it's for unpopular people who are in love who want to make out in public.
Yeah, that's true too. Like, you could go to the Ren, if the Ren Faire is where you can go to see every type of a person, like every configuration of features. Like, it's just, they're all represented at the Ren Faire. Like, you know, really
people with mushroom hats.
Yeah. No. I mean, like physical, the physicality, every type. You know, those like books where you they'll have figures and you can change the top half. And then,
oh, yes.
Yeah. It's like that. They're all represented at the Ren Faire.
That's true.
Anyway, so that's.
I had a celebrity sighting at the Ren Faire once.
Did?
And it was
probably,
you're saying it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last person I think anyone would ever. If you only know this guy from his most famous role.
Jeremy Irons.
I feel like we need to guess.
Even like it's, yeah, well, it's going to be hard, but you can, we play that game on Never Not Funny, the celebrity sighting.
Tony's favorite podcast that he actually likes.
That's right. Yeah, we can play it that way if you want to. I'm just going to throw the hint out there that this is the last, like if you only knew, if you thought he was his character from his most famous role, you can't even conceive of this person being at a Ren Faire. Like, it's
do we just, for sure know who this
so not
person
Kelsey
is?
Grammer.
No, that I can very easily.
Yeah, or like
imagine.
Johnny Depp. Do we for sure know who this person is?
I think everybody knows this guy. If you don't know the actor's name, you probably know this the character name. Okay. Or if you don't know the character name, you know that this was a major character on a very famous TV show.
Wendt.
No, sorry. Even that I think I could wrap my head around George Wendt at a
George Wendt story that I should share after we do this.
Okay.
Also,
all right.
Tony, as our biggest fan of Never Not Funny, maybe you remember this from, I think I mentioned it.
I'm sure I heard it, but.
And you could actually also you could fact check me on whether I'm right about this, because I'm okay. I'm a little like 2% like, am I remembering the right guy from the show? But I think I am.
So we're looking for someone who would never, the thing
that's
going to.
You just wouldn't imagine it.
We just, this person is like incongruous with Ren Faire.
And just to give you a tip on like the this is how we play it. Like figure out, if you could figure out the show, that'll get you a lot of way there.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Show, not a movie.
It is a, yes. The role, this guy was in
Growing
movies
Pains.
Too, but no.
Head of the class.
No. You're just going to start naming shows.
Yes.
She only knows shows from the 80s. Was it from the 80s?
It was
Mark
not from
Paul
the 80s.
Gosselaar.
It's not Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Was this somebody that like typically plays more of like a badass?
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
That's what I had a feeling you were hinting at.
Yes.
Oh, like Jason Priestley.
Terry Crews.
Do you know what a badass is?
Oh, sorry, Luke Perry.
Yes.
Wait, for real.
No.
Come on, he's a badass. Oh, AC Slater. It's not from Saved by the
it's
Bell,
not
right?
From the 80s.
God damn it. Is it modern? 80s. Is it current?
No.
See, I'm out.
Mr. T.
Eric Estrada.
I feel like
David Caruso.
I just keep thinking of people who definitely would be there.
Yeah.
Like Vincent D'Onofrio. Yes,
yeah,
for
AC
sure.
Would be there, yeah. This was from one of the most critically acclaimed TV shows of all time.
Oh.
Holly Walnuts.
No,
yeah,
that is very unlikely though. I like how unlikely you, but that's a close.
Someone from The Wire.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm trying to think.
I haven't seen The
Marlo.
Wire.
Marlo.
Oh, the guy who played, is he dead now?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. What's his name?
Omar.
He was on
the
TV.
Oh, wow.
Omar from The Wire.
Oh, wow.
That is surprising.
Yeah. His name was.
I know that I know it.
Michael.
But it's like a three name, right?
Williams, I think. Yeah. Michael K. Williams or something like that. Yes. Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Did he look like was he dressed up?
No, just hanging out. We were sitting on we found a patch of grass to sit down and eat, and he was sitting on the patch of grass with his lady friend.
Lovely.
Very nice.
I think the food was my favorite part. The food was surprisingly good.
What did you have if you didn't have turkey legs?
I got an artichoke, which...
A medieval artichoke?
Yeah. I'd seen this artichoke there before. It's pretty saucy.
The same one? I don't know.
Yes, like I had my eye
we
on it
different.
Last year. Yeah. It's an artichoke, and it comes with like I think it's hollandaise sauce and then like various spices and things. Mm. And... the flavor was really good. I realized a few leaves in eating an artichoke, especially in public, is just, it's messy and yeah. it's difficult. And if you don't have a place to like scrape out the hairy parts, then it's kind of a pain.
That's
but
not
I appreciated
a, that's not
the
a
flavor.
Food.
That, no,
you
it does feel like
anything.
A real like licking your fingers type of thing.
But doesn't that seem kind
that
of
seems
Renaissance?
Gross yeah, at a Ren Faire though.
That's... Daniel got the tri-tip sandwich, which mm-hmm. I had a bite of, which was really yeah. good. And then the yeah. kids had fish and chips, which was surprisingly good. So mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm.
I was in a Renaissance themed Renaissance themed children's improv troupe from as my first job in, I guess, comedy. I was like 20.
How was it?
Bad. It was called The Brothers Grin.
Oh.
Yeah. We would perform at, mm-hmm. I had to wear like, you know, the skirt and the, oh my gosh. Here, let me just do this. Come on. Okay. Yeah, I had to wear like the skirt and the lace-up bustier thing, mm-hmm. and yeah. We would perform in libraries, and it was a lot of okay, this is not better. It was a lot of trying to work with kids by being like, "Hey, what's your favorite animal?" Mm-hmm. Okay, what's an animal you know? Okay, what's that animal on your shirt? The one that's on your shirt right now? And they're always like, "We don't want to talk."
Yeah.
So it was.
Was that
it was
here
a, it
in
was a
LA?
Rough gig. No, it was in New York.
Okay, yeah.
And after every game, we had to go Grinna.
Oh my God!
Oh no!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why Grinna?
Because it was the brothers' grin.
I know, but
and it's
oh, like huzzah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a word that means.
I don't know. I'm just wondering what the A at the end.
It was just like this word means togetherness and friendship and yay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that was as close as I ever got to the Ren Faire world.
I feel like kids wouldn't appreciate improv. Improv's
no,
kind of an adult thing.
No, they just do improv all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like adults are like, whoa, how'd you think of that? And kids are like, yeah, that you think of stuff. What are you talking about?
Right. So before we started the show and Daniel, before you came in, we were talking about the like.
Wait a second. Don't
oh
get to
God.
Tell my George Wentz.
I'm so sorry.
Unbelievable.
I'm so sorry, Tony. Please.
And on a Tony's Picks episode?
I know.
Come on.
That's so it's, unfair.
It's a short story. I just love
Please make
this,
it long.
I just love this story. This was 2010, something like that. I was leaving a tour out of Chicago. I was at O'Hare, and I'm at my gate. My flight is delayed a little bit, so I'm just killing time near my gate. There's a little bookstore right at the gate. And so I was like, I'll go in there, look around. And as I'm looking around, I see a poster, like a flyer on the wall that says George Wendt book signing. And
at the airport?
Yes, past security.
So you got to be going somewhere.
You have
appreciate
to have
this.
An airline ticket to go
have,
to.
Like a layover? And he was like, well,
that's
what am
I am so fascinated. I wanted, I should have asked because the thing was, I see the flyer and then I'm like, wait a minute, that's today. And I look at the time, like, wait a minute, that's now! So I then sat at my gate and just waited for George Wendt to show up because my flight just kept getting delayed. And eventually he came in and looked miserable and signed a couple of books. And yeah.
Were you the only person who was there to see George? Even
I mean, a couple people did go up. But yeah, like, why would you do that?
That's a terrible gig for him.
Like that, yeah, because I think he's from Chicago. Yeah. So, like, that's the only thing I think of is, like,
certainly he was, there's other bookstores.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, like the whole Four Seasons thing where someone thought they were booking him into a bookstore someplace else.
Oh, right.
Yes. Like, oh, technically, it's the airport location.
Yeah.
I had a similar, well, it wasn't in an airport. But a similar like, oh, that's right now. Oh, with when the ArcLight was still open, one day I was like, oh, I want to do something tonight. What's going on at the ArcLight? And it was like a Yentl screening with Barbara Streisand Q&A in 15 minutes. And I was like, there are tickets for this? What's happening? So I just like walked down and got to see Barbara Streisand do a really bananas Q&A after a screening of Yentl.
What was so bananas about it?
Mostly the fans. They had to make a number of announcements about, like, you cannot touch Miss Streisand. She will not be accepting your gift. We're not going to even let you guys ask questions. But also, I can't even remember what the question she got asked was, but she ended up going on this tangent about, like, women's sexuality versus men's sexuality and how she had funded a chair at some university to study it and had nothing to do with the question that she had been asked. But I was just like, I'm so into her being like, here's what I want to talk about. Women's sexuality is different. Nobody understands it. I'm like, yes, Barbara Streisand. It was very fun.
Was Yentl a good movie? Because I saw it. My mom, I'm realizing, because I also saw About Last Night when I was very young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like my mom was just like, I want to see this movie. I have two children with me. We're going to this movie. Yeah. So we saw Yentl when I was way too young to appreciate it.
Both of them
it.
Are probably too sexy for kids.
Oh, Yentl is sexy?
Well, I mean, yeah, she's dressed as a boy and going to this yeshiva with and falls in love with hot young Mandy Patinkin. And Mandy Patinkin is like, oh, I really want to do it with this boy, but this isn't what I'm into. And then she's like, but I'm a woman. And he's like, oh, that's why.
Wait, so he's questioning his sexuality because he's attracted to the boy?
Kind of. I mean, wow. They clearly have some sort
chemistry,
of thing going
yeah.
on. And so he's probably just being like, we're cool friends. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, I'm into this guy. But so, yeah, there's a lot of longing and conflicted sexy stuff that I think I, as a kid, would have been like, could we have had an animal friend storyline
right.
instead?
See, I don't
even feels too adult for me.
I don't even remember that. I remember there's like a hair cutting scene, right?
Yeah, because she has to fit in and,
right.
and look like a boy.
Is it cut with a knife? I feel like there's less of like a big
that.
Cinematic thing.
But it is it's a fun watch since she directed it herself.
Oh,
and
I didn't know
it
that.
Is it's very like someone telling you how they want you to see them.
Mm.
You know, it's the way that she shoots herself is very soft focus, glamour, beauty. And I love that. I'm like, that's art. That's an artist being like, here's my view of the world. Yeah. Make of it what you will. I think that's
watch it. And then I remember songs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got some songs.
Yeah. Those felt weird. Mm-hmm. Those felt like, well, we have to put some Barbra Streisand in here.
Speaking of watching things, and then we're getting to the politics of dating your friend's ex story. But Daniel and I started watching Baby Reindeer. Is anyone else watching that?
I've seen the whole thing.
Okay. Do you recommend it?
We're
one episode in. I mean, and I'm hooked.
It's a rough watch. Halfway through it, I tweeted this. I'm halfway through Baby Reindeer, and I feel like I want to kill myself, but I have to keep watching it. I can't stop watching it.
Uh-oh.
It's punishing. It's really it's a tough show. It's dark, and it's every character is not good. And it deals with some really tough themes.
Do you wish you hadn't seen it?
No, but now I also feel kind of conflicted about it being a real story. And there's mm-hmm. been all this stuff with people trying to find the real people that the characters inspired. And
it's the guy is the real guy, though, right?
Yes, but there is a real
woman, right?
Yeah.
I saw a headline or something that she like wants to sue or something because she says it's based on her.
Yeah, but then she's also, I mean, she's not. One of the themes is mental illness.
Right.
Like she has also been like, I never met that guy. I don't even know him. So
how's it about her?
It she's not.
It's
but,
not.
But also, yeah. Like, so because it's a show, you know what I mean? It's not the show. Whether for her, I mean, I guess for her own reputation, maybe she's like, it's not me. But
yeah, and she's getting really harassed online.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, did other people decide it was her?
Why are people harassing her?
People found her. Mm. Like all these internet sleuths. They also found somebody that they thought was another character who's really bad that you guys haven't gotten to yet. And they just decided, the internet people just decided this and kind of ruined his life. Let's see how long that actually lasts. Maybe that'll just wash away.
People do get real hobbies, people.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty
socks.
Come on.
It's fraught in a lot of different ways. It's fraught, but
I
mean,
am I going to lose sleep?
Enjoy watching it, but not enjoy is the wrong word.
Am I going to lose sleep over it?
No, I didn't. But
okay,
you might walk around feeling unresolved and bad. You know what I mean?
I'm questioning our decision to watch this.
You don't have to. I'm going to watch it.
But no, I want to know what happens now.
Why don't you go read it on the internet like you usually do?
I know, for God's sake.
I do that. Like Handmaid's Tale. I was like, I cannot. This is too upsetting.
There's a whole book you can read for that one.
Yes, I know. I know. Oh, but anytime something's like, I can't, this is too much, then I have to go read it. But Baby Reindeer, so far, I'm enjoying it. Have you seen this, Matt? Do you know about
it? I watched the trailer. My wife and I were about to start watching it. The other night, and we were like, well, let's just watch the trailer. And we watched the trailer, and we're like, the trailer was intense, and then we're like, okay, we need to find another time to do this, because right now it's just like we need to chill and like watch something a little easier and a little more.
Meanwhile, like, we haven't even watched the second season of The Bear because that's too tense.
There are so many things that we haven't watched.
I think that gets better in the second season. Okay. I mean, it's still intense, but I like the second season better than the first. And I like the first a lot too, but
yeah, I want to watch it, but we've mostly been watching Bravo.
All right.
The Valley.
Top Chef?
No. Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. The Valley is so good bad. It's like,
oh, yes.
Are you watching it at all?
No, but I've seen it. I saw like an episode. It's just a bunch of like couples who live in the valley.
Yeah.
And hang out at each other's
valley. This very valley.
I'm familiar.
They're all like, it's so crazy. I used to have a life. Now I'm a mom. Yeah. But we're still getting things done. And you'll see how. And I'm like, ugh.
So it's essentially a spinoff from Vanderpump Rules. Does everyone here know what that is?
Yes.
Roughly.
Yeah. Okay. You know enough to. Yeah. Yes. So, and now there's one of the Vanderpump Rules characters who lives in Burbank. And every time I say this, you're open about living in Burbank.
I am. Yeah. I'm living my truth as a Burbank resident. Yeah.
Every time they cut to him in his house, they show an airplane going overhead.
He lives in the Magnolia Park area. Okay. And every just to F with him, the editors always insert a shot of an airplane going overhead. the flight path.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, so that's Vanderpump Rules. And then there's a couple characters, Jax and Kristen, who are like major drama shitsters. They got kicked off of Vanderpump Rules and now they're on The Valley. And watching The Valley, which is a show where you're like, this is the dumbest show. I can't wait to watch the next episode. Mm-hmm. But I'm reminded how good they are at making television. And yeah, everyone's like basically pretty unlikable, but it's still good.
To have a good reality show, you need at least one complete psychopath. Mm-hmm. Just someone with no moral compass and just messy as hell. Otherwise, it's boring. Mm-hmm. And I think Vanderpump has gotten rid of those characters so that Vanderpump's still good, but it's not quite what it was.
I like the premise that living in Burbank is the punishment for not for being kicked off another reality show. That's funny.
Okay, so what we were talking about. We were talking about dating a friend's ex and whether it's ever okay. And if we're losing Daniel, he is not okay with this conversation.
This is touchy.
Yeah, no, he's probably getting an email from his boss. Okay, Eliza.
Yes.
You share your story.
Okay. I had a friend who dated a few of my exes, and I didn't get upset with her. I didn't like it. It wasn't great, but I was like, well, I guess my friendship is more important than this guy that I'm not involved with anymore. So that kind of, and that happened when I was pretty young. So I didn't really have a you're not allowed to date your friend's ex kind of mindset, because it had happened to me, you know. And at one point I got asked out by this guy who I'd been working with, and we'd gotten to be friends, and he had dated two of my exes. I mean, he had dated two of my friends, sorry. So when he asked me out, I was like, oh, well, I have to ask my friends first, and those two friends. And he was like, oh, okay. And I asked one of them, and she was like, yeah, sure, go ahead, whatever. And I asked the other one, and she was like, how dare you? How dare you even ask me that? And I was like, okay, well, then I won't go out with him. And she was like, no, the fact that you even asked, we're not friends anymore. And I was like, wait, so you're mad at me if I go out with him or if I don't? And she was like, you should just know. I don't even want to tell. And I was like, what happened? She was like, I don't even want to tell you what happened with him.
Oh, my God.
And we were in a band together. And so then we kept being in a band together. Eventually, she moved away. But it was.
You were never friends again.
No. Well, eventually, we both were in L.A. and we were both working writers. And
do we know this? I'm not going to ask you to name her, but do we know this person? No,
okay. You don't. Yeah, I think the struggle of work and needing to network, she was a little nicer to me.
Oh, okay.
Once I was well employed.
So my big question, we were talking about off the air, that I held back because I knew we were going to get back to this. Did you then go out with this guy.
Yeah, I went out with him. Okay. I dated him for 2 years. Whatever. Oh. I wasn't going to.
Boom.
So what? All's I should well just be lonely and not have a friend?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, that's was, ridiculous.
If she wasn't going to like me either way.
Right.
I was like,
it's
well,
kind of like it
okay,
freed
I
you
guess
up
I'm
to be
like, go out with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our first date was Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, how romantic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make it through that on a first date, then I guess you guys are pretty solid. So that's a good indicator.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel, I mean, I'm just upset on your behalf because you were trying to do the right thing. I feel like the right answer is, thank you so much for asking. I feel this way or this way about it. And then you know...
Yeah, I think
respect her decision, but still, like, what the hell?
I think people don't really respect or think about how hard it is to initiate difficult conversations.
Yes, I think about that a
lot. I think when they're just faced with difficult conversations, they get upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened to me a lot because I am one to be like, well, I can't, if I'm upset about this, the only thing I can do is try to talk to this person, you know, be it in the workplace or with a friend or whatever. And yeah, people don't like that.
Right.
They would prefer to kind of sweep things under the rug, and I don't know, everybody says they would prefer it until it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, talk to me about it.
Yeah.
And then when you try, they're like, why have you ruined my day? It's like, well,
right. I do feel like in culture there's a lot, and I've been guilty of saying this, like, well, they never talked to me about it, or why, just talk about it, just talk to the person about it. But I think you're right, some of those conversations are really hard to initiate. It's really difficult. I had a friend who felt like there's a girl code. And the girl code, and I was like, what is the girl? Where is this written?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Everybody
the girl
has their
code
own.
Is you never date a friend's ex.
Yeah,
just go, girl.
Everybody has their own set of rules. And some people assume everyone else has the same rules as them, and they get really mad when you violate them. And I've now gotten old enough that I'm like, that's for the birds. I can't ever satisfy someone like that. So unless you can tell me and allow me to try to improve it and express that what you're saying matters to me, I'm out.
So your friend who had dated a number of your exes.
Yeah.
How is this a very small friend group, a very small town? Or did she just like the guys you had dated? What was happening?
Yeah, I think she liked the guys that I dated. And yeah, I think she wasn't great at meeting guys, or I don't know. I mean, I can't really get into the mindset. It seems weird. Once there was a second one, it seemed really
right.
Pretty weird.
Was it like sequential, like you would date a guy, break up, then she would date him immediately, and then it like kept going, like she was following you?
No. Okay. No, it was a little bit more sporadic. And then there was a couple that I'm like, I think you're trying to date my ex, but he's like, what is this? Why are you doing this? Yeah. And eventually I was like, hey, how come we've never talked about this? And she got really mad at me.
She did.
Yeah. For suggesting that we should talk about how we had never talked about her dating my exes.
Did she get defensive?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, people are weird. They have, you know, loaded buttons inside of them, things that they have dealt with or resolved, or, you know, it's tough to have difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's weirder to not, after it's happened twice, it's weirder to not talk about it, honestly, in that situation.
Yeah.
Was she a good friend of yours? Was she also in your band?
No, she was a really good friend of mine. Yeah. What was weird? Okay. So she came to visit me and she was talking about something, and she mentioned one of my exes because they still lived in the same town. And she was like, oh, I never told you about that night with that guy. And I was like, and this was not an ex she had dated. And I was like, oh, no. And she was like, oh my God, I didn't tell you about that night. I can't believe I never told you about that night with that guy, because it was so crazy. Wow. And she was going on like this for a while. And I was sort of like,
what happened with the guy?
Yeah. Well, I was like, what happened? Did you make out with him or something? And she was like, oh my God, I would never.
What?
Yeah. And I was like,
this is crazy making.
But you did. And she was like, what? And she had another friend there. So maybe she was like embarrassed because there was another friend.
She was pretending she had never dated
your
exes.
Yeah, but I was like, wait, but you have. You did it a few times. And she was like, well, those aren't good memories. I don't want to talk about them. And I was like,
it's a nice little escape hatch for her conversation.
Yeah. It's weird to me that you were never curious about how I felt about it. As a friend, I just feel like, I don't understand why you weren't ever even curious about if I was upset. Mm-hmm. Has this gotten really heavy?
No, but it's good. It's good. It's like baby reindeer.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm referring to yet. I just want to say that. Yeah, it might not be like
not,
that.
Yeah. It is not that. But yeah, so it was tough in that we kind of never came back from that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Is the take-home message from this podcast, think twice before trying to have honest and open communication with someone?
I think it's receive it better when someone tries to have an honest and open conversation with you. Take into account that it's really hard for somebody to say, hey, I'm hurt by this.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I am, I'm not sure how to handle this, and I want your help because you're who it would also affect. Like...
Right.
It would be great if just nothing uncomfortable ever happened and everybody was just happy all the time. Unfortunately, that it's not the way that rolls out usually. Yeah.
And also, I think something that I've had to accept is if you hurt someone's feelings, if someone is upset with you, that's just what happens when human beings are like bump into each other just in the course of like... I think my dream would be to go through life never, ever having anyone ever upset with me. Like, I've never done anything wrong. I've never hurt their feelings. I've always acted in a kind, considerate, compassionate way. Like, I'm the perfect nice person.
This seems reasonable.
Right? That's achievable if you try hard enough, right? If you just try hard enough, it should be achievable. But I don't think it is. And I think that if we were all more comfortable with these, it's then obviously, like, don't do something really egregious. I don't know that you can come back from that, but little hurts here and there you should be able to work through them, ideally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if they're little hurts and you go ahead and bring it up, the person will be like, oh, it's fine. I wasn't even upset about that, even if they were.
Right.
But they're like, that was all I needed. I just needed you to show that you were concerned about my feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me throw this at you. Mm-hmm. What about this scenario? This actually did happen to me of briefly dated this girl. And once we kind of were going out, I found out that she had gone out with, she did briefly date a friend, a mutual friend, who is dead now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I say... That makes it pretty easy for you.
Yeah, well, it's a really hard conversation to have.
But it was a weird, I felt a little weird about it. But at the same time, I was like, well.
He probably doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, why did you feel weird about it?
Just because I didn't know that somehow. Mm-hmm. And then,
that you were friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. And we had other mutual friends that, you know, were cool with everything.
Right.
At least to my face, they were. but yeah, that was, I don't know. I'd never been in a scenario like that. And it was a little odd.
Yeah. That is unusual. But I feel like then you got, unless she just, did she have a good relationship with him?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you guys can like talk about how you miss him.
Yeah.
And that brings you closer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine, you know.
Right.
It was ultimately fine. It was just an odd thing to find, cuz like kind of like casually said it when I was like, "Oh, I didn't realize that happened."
Yeah.
So.
Do you believe that there's like a guy code? It's an MTV show, but is there a guy code?
You're asking the wrong person.
Broke.
Yeah, now we're talking. no, I don't know. Like I don't know, cuz it's one of those things that's like, I guess if you're both single, I suppose technically you're not doing anything wrong, but it is kind of weird though. Feels like there should be a conversation probably. But I don't know. What do I know?
What do you think, Matt?
I think I'm happy to have not dealt with any of this as someone who's been in the relationship with my wife for 25 years or something. But in the ideal world, you should talk about it. But I understand why people don't want to. And I don't know. I mean, friendships, it does. It's sort of like a litmus test for the friendship. It's kind of like, do you care enough about the friendship to have the conversation? Or are you just like, this doesn't matter. I don't think about you at all. I'm just going to keep living my life and whatever happens, happens. And so, I mean, that's hurtful in a different way. It's like, oh, you don't care enough about our friendship to to even consider that we should talk about this. And so that's maybe that's more what's hurtful about it. Because I think most reasonable people would be like, yeah, I don't own my ex.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, they can choose and you can choose to do whatever you want. And it might be weird, but just move on.
Well, and especially the older you get. Yeah. Like, the pool of people who none of your friends have ever even gone on a date
with—that
gets smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, unless you're constantly like relocating around the world and you're making a whole new group of friends.
Yeah, unless you're Robert Durst, it's hard. But
he obviously did it right. He did everything right.
Yeah.
God. Has anybody watched that? Is that out yet? The new season?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a nude.
I've started to. It seems to mostly be about his friends being like, he was so great. He was a great guy. We had lots of fun partying.
Oh, boy.
And I tried not to talk to the police. But eventually I talked to the police. Like, one after the other.
Wow. I figured this has got to be about a different crime.
No, it's like a follow-up somehow. But yeah, I haven't watched it.
I guess there's more. After the documentary ended, there was more stuff that happened in his case. Like, he hadn't been convicted yet, I don't think.
No.
Right. So they still could tell that part of it. But it's kind of like, yeah, we get it. He's guilty and he went to prison. Yeah.
His calls from jail, I will say, are very funny.
Oh, I haven't heard those.
I'm excited to hear those.
Yeah. Every time it's like, you have a call from Bob!
they play one of those in the trailer. Yeah.
Sometimes he does funny voices.
Oh, wow.
Very weird.
Tony, let's get him on the show. Wait, is he alive?
No,
still?
He died.
Okay, let's not do that then.
Probably wouldn't be very good.
Well, and also, spoilers of all the fun stuff. They have some young, like, law students or aides working on something. And when they first get asked about, they're like, hey, the lawyer goes to them and is like, do you know Bob Durst? And they're like, oh my God, from Limp Bizkit? No, that's Fred Durst. And I was like, thank you for saying what all of us thought at one point, even if only for a moment.
That is hilarious. So, Eliza, last time you were on, actually, maybe not the last time, but I know when you were on, you were working on Earth to Ned. So this is a while ago. What have you been up to of late?
Not a lot. I told you about the socks, right?
Yeah.
it's been kind of slow, with the strikes and everything. And so I'm trying to generate my own projects. It's mostly stand-up right now. Mostly just doing shows around town.
But are you someone who's like, this is what feeds me the most creatively?
What, stand-up?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I like it. It does feed me. But like, I like all of the stuff that I do. I like, it doesn't, I would like to make money. Is really the thing, and it does.
Because that's
not
what feeds you literally
that.
The most.
Exactly. Yeah. When you mention feed me, the writing does that much better.
Yes.
Normally, but there's just not a whole lot of stuff being made right now. Mm. I did a show last night that was almost a movie riff show, but it was really we watched the movie and then have a debate afterwards. And the debate was kind of improv, short form improv style, where there was a lot of tagging in and tagging each other's jokes. And it felt a lot like what a writer's room feels like, what a comedy writer's room feels like. And that I was like, I hadn't been sure. I was like, I don't know. Is writing the thing? Is that what I miss? And doing that, I was like, oh, yeah, writing is the thing. I want to have that feeling again every day.
What movie was it?
Friday.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you got to see Friday.
I've actually never seen it either.
Me neither.
What? You've never seen anything?
I've never seen Friday either.
Anything.
Interesting, because the debate question afterwards was, have too many white people seen Friday or have not enough white people seen Friday?
We're not part of the jobs.
Yeah, we're not part of the problem on this one.
Well, the answer that I argued for and the audience ended up voting for was more white people need to see Friday.
Oh, okay.
It's
really great. And there's a lot of cultural stuff that people quote and know, but they haven't seen the movie that it comes from.
By Felicia. I mean, that
exactly.
alone.
Exactly.
Wait, that's for Friday?
Yeah.
See, I didn't even know.
Yeah. It's Chris Tucker at his finest.
All right. I'll see it. I've also not seen Hotel Rwanda.
Me neither.
I did see that. It was a first date.
Wait a minute.
It was us. We were on a date.
All right. And Matt, what have you been up to? What's going on in the Belknap industries?
What's going on? Just personal stuff. You know, lots of soccer games with my son, lots of choir shows with my son and daughter. They both are doing show choir at their schools. But professionally, Never Not Funny is getting ready to do Podcastathon, which Tony is also a part of. That's on May 25th. It's going to be streaming on our website, nevernotfunny.com. And it's a 9-hour marathon show that raises money for Smile Train, which is a great charity that helps kids in impoverished nations get cleft palate surgery. So check that out if you want to. It's tons of great guests, good music. Tony's going to be playing the drums. We'll be having new guests every half hour. So
wonderful. Awesome. Yeah. Is that at Flappers again?
It is at Flappers. Yeah. So that part is sold out. You cannot come even if you want to.
So what are the 9 hours?
Yeah.
From what to what?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Good question. That's
like, is this early morning or is it super late night?
We used to do it noon to midnight, and then it just is hard. Like, it was hard to
you
get
grew
set
up. You got a little bit more.
No, that is true. But we're going 3 to midnight because it's just hard to get set up in the morning. Like, yeah, when we get that, you know, you have to set everything up because Flappers like has shows every night. So like we can't like set up on a Friday and then do it on a Saturday. So it's like we have to get in there Saturday morning, set up, and then start the show. So we just gave ourselves a little more time to do all the stuff we need to do, is set up the cameras and the audio and all that stuff, and get the band set up, which is the band started. It used to be, just be Tony with a one snare drum, right?
Yeah, floor tom. Usually, I just come out and do drum rolls, and that was it.
That was kind of a joke. It's like we just have Tony to do a drum roll every time we announce the new total for like how much money have we raised so far, and that has now grown into a full on band with I think there's two percussion. It's you and another drummer now.
Yeah, I know. Which there's actually been some talk. I might even be playing some bass.
Yes,
potentially.
I think we're
going
to move
I'm
you to
sure.
bass. Yeah, because we have
while
piano.
While you're going to play the drums? who's this other drummer?
His name's Eric Kelver.
There's another drummer?
I know, crazy.
In LA.
Wow.
Here's what happened. We were going to do it in 2020, and Tony was going to be on tour, right? Was that the year that you were on tour?
Yeah, of all the years that I actually was on tour.
Yeah, and so Tony couldn't be there, so we found another drummer, and he really wanted to. He was really excited to be a part of it. So when we finally, like, this is the first time we've done it live in a in a showroom since before the pandemic, and Jimmy, being the kind of guy he is, he's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, cut Eric out. He was so excited to do it. So let's just have both of them do it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Boo does not like that idea.
Yeah, I agree, Boo. I think Jimmy should be more cutthroat with his decisions.
Wait, this is your first year doing it? This one since pandemic?
Since 2019. We did one on Zoom in 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we haven't done it since 2019.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so there's Wayne Fetterman's on piano. We've got a saxophone player. We've got a guitar. Mike Henry plays guitar. And there might even be someone else. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that person can't do it or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
I barely know.
It's a whole production, and it's really fun. It's a fun
show. Yeah, it's a good time.
You could drop in and out of the show throughout the day and night. It's fun to just see what's going on. If you want to, you have 20 minutes to check it out.
I've done it a couple times, and it's always very fun.
Yes, it is fun.
Let's do Just Me or Everyone. Sometimes I ponder on something I have thought or done. Is it just me or everyone? All right. Eliza, do you happen to have a Just Me or Everyone?
Oh, be first?
Matt, do you have a Just Me or Everyone?
I do.
Okay, let's
hear yours. As I mentioned before with my socks, I have lots of these things.
Yeah.
And
wonderful.
Usually the answer is just me, by the way. The one that I thought of this morning was when I don't know how many of you wear Apple Watches, but I have an Apple Watch and I obsessively track everything I do on it. So every time I do a workout, when I go to stop the workout, I have to stop it. The seconds have to be 00 or 05. Like, I can't have it be like, you know, 22:08. It has to be 22:10, you know, so I just wait for it. But the watch is not designed for a person like me who cares about that, because you have to like tap a thing, then swipe a thing, then tap a thing. And then you can't see the clock anymore. So you have to go, all right, it's at 09. Now I go. And then you have to like account for the time. So anyway, just me.
I doubt that. I don't have an Apple Watch. I doubt that is just you, though. I highly doubt it.
I will say this. I don't do that, but I guess kind of a version of that. Literally, every week I come here, I tend to show up a little bit early, mm-hmm. and I usually show up at a quarter till, and I will usually wait in my car until whatever 3:44, and then I'll get out of the car and walk to the door.
Oh, it's always the 44.
Yeah, always. Like, I'll literally be staring at my phone. And just when I see it hit 44, I get out of the car.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah. Kinda.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I do this with a lot. Like, you know, when I'm editing Never Not Funny, like, you know, our the end theme is I don't know. It's like the whole thing's a minute long, but I usually cut it and then fade it out. I always make sure that the entire show length is on the tens or the fives. Like, it cannot be like 44, but sorry, Tony, I know you love 44, but then I realize the ads get inserted and that screws up the total time. So that doesn't matter anyway. It's like ruins it. So I can't really control that.
It's like, when you fill up your gas tank and you want it to be a round number.
I do that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
really?
do you do that?
I don't, but okay. I know people do.
Okay, yeah. So
then what do you want? What do you do with your gas?
Same. It's like a 10.
It's got to be a 0 or a 5.
Yeah, like a nice round number, some kind of a round number.
Now, this is going to really blow your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like the opposite. Oh, I God. When I set my alarm, and I've talked about it on the show before, but when I set my alarm, I do not want to wake up on a 0 or a 5. That's what other people do. I want to wake up on an 01. Occasionally a 14. Usually it's an 01. Or lately I've been getting up at 6:54. That's when my alarm is set. And then my kids get up at 7:02 or 7:03. They don't know that, though. They're not aware that I'm doing this to them,
They
too.
Just wake up whenever, or you wake them up.
No, their alarm goes off.
Oh, they have alarms? Mm-hmm. They're young. They're not just awake at like 5 o'clock in the morning?
No. Well, this is for school.
Yeah.
School
okay.
mornings. But even if they didn't have an alarm, they would still wake up like around this time.
Okay.
But no, it's weird. Sometimes they sleep in the same room now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll toddle out like fully awake. And then sometimes, like today, they came out looking really tired. And like Elliot was saying, I'm so tired. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to think why I set their alarm instead of just going in and waking them up myself. I don't know.
You're busy. You got other things to do. You can't worry about them.
Exactly.
Let the technology take care of
them. Everyone's on their own.
Yeah. Well, this is going to blow your mind based on everything I've already told you.
You also do that?
I also set my alarm not at the – I like to have it on a weird 53 or like a 57. I don't know why.
Well, you contain multitudes.
That's the only area where I'm the opposite, where I'm just like, yeah, make it some crazy number. I think it's because I think that'll help me wake up more. Like, I don't know why. But
like this is fascinating.
It'll surprise me.
You can sleep for a couple of minutes. I do that.
Yeah,
I'll
maybe
make
it's
it
that.
Like – 08.
So oh, we
like,
all
well,
do this.
I've got like 2 minutes that I can kind of roll around. Like, it's not going to be 20 more minutes.
Right.
My question is, do you guys have a number of alarms in your phone that are just old alarms?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, me too. It seems stupid. But I realized the other day I was looking through and I'm like, I have just all of these alarms and they're all weird numbers.
Yeah, that's a flight from 14 years ago.
But I'll go back and use those.
Yes.
Right.
And they still have
like,
the label on
that's pretty
on
close
them.
To where I need to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I always want to reuse it. It feels good to recycle them. Like, let's use this one again. This shouldn't just be sitting on its own. Like, not.
Yes. It started for me because when I was a kid, my alarm had a 9-minute snooze. So I would do like 6:51 or something, and then I could snooze and wake up on a, you know, a mat workout number.
Right.
But now I almost feel like it's bad luck to wake up on a 0 or a 5.
I can't wrap my head around the 9-minute snooze. What a strange.
What is
the fact that your clock had a built the snooze was
9 minutes.
Mine's 9 minutes.
Is it?
I feel like that might
is that
be
the standard. Is
it might
standard?
Be standard.
I feel like,
I think it's the Apple.
Oh, like, I never thought about how long the snooze was. Like, because I don't use it. I just wake up.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
You
I don't. Mess
you've never
with snooze.
Snoozed.
I don't
you
snooze.
Don't snooze.
No.
Never ever.
No.
I mean,
sometimes I hit it accidentally, and then I'm in the shower, and it goes off, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, I guess I pressed the wrong button. But yeah, I guess
your whole life you've never been a snooze person.
Maybe like when I was a teenager, but I think I just was like, I gotta go. It's time. Mm. Like, I gotta do this. Let's do
so
it.
So you sleep well?
I do. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
must be nice.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's great.
When you
wait until menopause,
when your alarm goes off, Do you feel
By the way, I mostly don't use an alarm. I only use an alarm when I have to like wake up for a flight or some crazy situation that I
need. No wonder you alarm shamed my children.
No, my wife uses one. That's why I don't need it. Because she gets up and then that wakes me up. And then I know if she's up, I know I can sleep another half hour and then I'll get up.
But you trust that you'll just wake up for
Yeah, because I'm not fully asleep at that point. I'm just kind of
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so every once in a while, she'll be like, are you getting up?
So wait a minute. If you sleep for another 30 minutes, you are snoozing. You're just not using your snooze function.
True. I'm having a not very satisfying half sleep.
Yeah, well, that's when I press snooze like 10 times in a row, that's what I'm doing.
That's
why
I think a snooze is stupid. It's like it's not good sleep. It's just like.
But it's like a stay of execution. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, God, it's going to be so painful to get a night. I just need a couple more minutes.
Like, let's really dig into this, guys. When you snooze, you're basically saying, I fucking hate life. Like, life needs to be
dramatic.
Like, I want to avoid my life for 9 more minutes. That's going to be just a little bit of pleasure.
See, I think you can only have that point of view if you sleep well. As somebody who sleeps really badly, I'm like, please, just 9 more minutes of the sweet elixir that I am never given.
Yeah.
Sure, that makes sense.
Okay. I had this moment in the shower, this is years ago, where I was like, I just have to get through today and then I can get back in bed. And I thought, what has my life become? And I do love sleep so much. And then I feel like, am I just trying to avoid consciousness? And maybe I am.
But you're productive, right? You're doing a lot of stuff.
Have you met Allison?
Hey.
So I mean, it's just like you're using your time well. And
I
then...
am. I just feel it's just it's against my wishes.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. I just like oftentimes it just is hard. It's hard for me to want to commit to being awake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what for? What for?
Now, do you guys stay up super late? Are you like you can't fall asleep, so you just stay up late? And is
we
that,
have
or is
gotten
you...
into this habit of eating dinner late and then watching TV late.
Yeah.
And there's always a moment where I think I could have just gotten in bed at 9:30 or 10, but instead it's like midnight and I'm still out here sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
And so that happened last night, and then I was up till 1 because I couldn't fall asleep. That's not that common anymore, though. Yeah, why? What time do you guys go to bed?
Well, I have that thing, too, where like if I stay up too late, then I go past the tiredness, and then I can't sleep.
Yes.
So I know I kind of have to go to sleep at like 11, basically. Mm-hmm. But I do. If I'm reading before bed, I get tired, and I want to sleep, and so I do, and that's kind of how it works. But I know a lot of people have trouble falling asleep, and so then it becomes a vicious cycle of like, you can't fall asleep, so you stay up, and then you're tired, but then you don't get good sleep because you stayed up late and just snowballs. Is that your situation, Alana?
Oh no, I go to sleep pretty early. Like it's a battle. So I've started like
a battle
going
to stay awake or a battle to go to sleep.
No, to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. So I've been going to sleep earlier and earlier, but I wake up in the middle of the night for midnight frolics where I dance about my apartment thinking of all the things I've said too loud at parties.
Oh.
It's the waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep.
Yeah.
What time do you go to sleep?
I mean, I try to do like a 10.
Mm.
Like sometimes it's like 8:30 and I'm like, come on, Eliza, stay up for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
And but then I'll have a show some night and I'll have to stay up super late. So if I get out of whack. Yeah.
Right. Are you actually, you're not menopause yet, are you?
No, no, no.
Okay. Because I am. it's a new development. I don't think I have any updates though. Tony's going to come up with a, you don't have it yet, do you? You look like you're about to play something.
Oh, mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Carry on.
Boy, did I want to hear that.
Is that your just me?
Oh no, it should be though, and it seems to be just me. But do you have it just me or everyone?
Alexa. Oh, I everything weird that happens with me now. Oh, do I have a just me? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like this has to be like the first one that you guys have done. Mine is so boring. When I'm reading a book. So when it describes a face that somebody makes, I have to make that face and try it out.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, probably like this. And it's like, he looked quizzical and yet enchanted. I'm like, okay, it was probably that.
I would fixate on that and just be like, I can't, that's not real. Like, you, no one makes that face. Right. And then like, just to like spin off it out of control about like, why did they write it like that? That's terrible. And then like get mad for no reason at a writer. I don't know.
Well, they're not all that bizarre.
Yeah. If you're reading a good book, then you don't have to worry about that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah, was that spy novel, right? Is that what we're talking about?
No, I'm saying if you read good books, then you don't have that problem. And I'm sure you do.
You mean the good book.
Yes. The Bible, the best facial expressions in all of literature.
And yet enchanted.
You know, I don't think that one has ever come up on the show. Yeah, that's crazy. Although a listener will let me know if they've heard it before, but I don't think so.
I like that you present like, this is the most common thing possible. And then you said something very specific.
I thought that
it's good. It's a great one. It's great.
That because, it, you know, reading is something you do so solitarily.
Right.
You're not like group reading usually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're not sure how other people read.
I mean, like maybe I do and I don't realize I do it. There's always that possibility.
Do that, but I'd never really thought about the fact that I do. This is such a good just me or everyone.
I should have gone first.
Yeah, I think I do that, but more if it's like described in a very specific way, like about how someone curled their lip or did something with their face. I'm trying to think if they did like bewildered and in, wait, it wasn't bewildered and enchanted, was it?
That was just what
quizzical.
I made up.
Quizzical and enchanted. I'm trying to think if I would.
He sneered longingly.
Are you reading a romantasy?
No, I'm just, I honestly never, but I'm just trying to pick.
Yeah. Because I feel like these would all, do you guys know that book, A Court of Thorn and Roses?
No.
It's like wildly popular. I think they're making a movie of it. Someone that I follow, I'll say it, Colin Perry, who's been on the show before, she had been posting about how she couldn't put these books down. So I did buy A Court of Thorn and Roses, and it's kind of a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. Hmm. It has not hooked me yet, but I'm sure there's quizzical enchantment and longing sneers and all sorts of stuff in that book.
A Court of Thorn and Roses.
Mm-hmm. ACOTAR.
How are people measuring thorns in courts now? I don't like, no, I reject the premise.
The thorns are the judge and the roses are the jury.
Oh, it's a court, like C-O-U-R-T.
Oh, yeah, not court.
I really was confused by that title.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
if it was a court of thorn and roses.
A court of thorns and roses.
If you put your hand in there, what are you going to get?
Yeah.
Right.
That's almost more dangerous than a court.
No, a court.
I was just mad that it wasn't metric. I just felt like...
Right. That's like when people think the word... quirky is quirky. Have you encountered that?
No.
I've seen quirky spelled C-O-R-K-Y. Yeah.
My current like least favorite grammatical shift, buckle up listeners, is people seem to have forgotten that you say, the phrase is beside the point, but that's beside the point. Everybody now, but that's besides the point. Mm-hmm. I hate that S.
Oh my
It's
God.
Not going to go anywhere. It's just there. I can't take it out.
I'm so with you. Yes.
I don't even think I've noticed that.
Yeah, I don't
think
I have either.
But now
it
will.
It would bother me.
Yeah.
It really bugs me. I'm like, no, it's like you're standing there and the point is next to you.
Yeah.
So you're beside the point.
Besides the point. No.
Let me run this by you because this is a thing. This is my pet peeve along those lines. But I don't know if it's regional or maybe I've gone crazy. So I'm just going to give it to you guys in the form of a...
Is this a slur?
No.
Okay.
Maybe.
We don't say that here.
I'm going to say something and I'm going to put a blank and then you guys each tell me what goes in the blank.
Love it.
Okay, you ready? All of blank sudden.
I
only because
this is
say the.
A lot of people seem to be saying all of the sudden.
They are,
I will admit I did for a long time.
But we grew up in the same place.
I grew up in Michigan originally.
Oh, okay.
But it was
also,
then like
you were
later...
a county kid. It's where they ride in the back of pickup trucks.
There was none of that happening.
Sure.
Maybe when I was young.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I will admit that then later, like seeing it in a book one day, I was like, oh, that's what it is? So
it's interesting.
I've come around.
When people say it, it's kind of a subtle thing to pick up.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it in... writing. I've seen it in
comments.
You've
seen all of the sudden.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. It just feels wrong. But when I think about it, I'm like, well, it's all kind of obviously all of language is arbitrary. Like, I don't know why one would be wrong or one would be right, but it just seems bad.
And it evolves. Like, we don't speak the same way we spoke 200 years ago.
Yes.
But some things I'm like, but it makes more sense. The rules make more sense this way.
All of this. But But I think all of the sudden is not correct. Am I wrong?
I agree.
Tony, can you look up all of the sudden? All of the, it doesn't even sound
right. It sounds wrong, but I think that's because we all know the other way.
All of the sudden. It happened the sudden.
I mean, it's a weird phrase when you think about it.
That's what I'm
it's
saying.
Like, how
all
does it work?
All of a sudden is also right. weird yeah. if you actually think about it. All of a sudden.
Let's just say suddenly.
Yes,
right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Just say suddenly. Just
drop the thing altogether.
These are the kind of choices I make as a writer.
Good.
Just say something completely different.
What are you looking for? Just the definition
know,
of?
No, we want to know, is all of the sudden correct? Do you, is it okay to say all of the sudden or all of a sudden?
No, sorry. Yeah, I don't think it's correct. Let's see. According to word mavens, all of the sudden is considered a to certainly be avoided mistake Ooh. For the long-standing expression all of a sudden, meaning suddenly, sooner than expected at once.
Wow, to certainly be avoided sounds like pretty high on the avoided yeah. scale. Yeah.
Is word mavens a website or do they just mean word mavens?
They just mean word mavens.
Well, that's
Although
us.
You can click on mavens.
Oh. And then it and just then it goes just, to a definition of maven.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
What does maven mean? No, you know what? We can't go down this
All way. Of a mavens.
All of a mavens. All of the mavens. All of the mavens.
All
say.
The single mavens.
Let's do Podcast Pals product picks.
Podcast Pals product picks.
Anyone have a recommendation?
This is not branded. That's okay. I don't have a brand. But I'm a big fan of... baby washcloths.
Oh.
Don't have a baby. But
but you have their washcloths.
Yes. I took their washcloths. No, instead of reusable wipes, instead of what's unreusable?
Disposable
wipes. Thank you. instead of disposable wipes for like taking off makeup and stuff, because they're so thin and you can launder them and use them again and they're pretty easy to find. So, yeah.
It's a good that. One.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Mine is branded.
Great.
And I feel weird doing it because it feels like I'm doing an ad for a thing, but I'm not being paid for this. But I'm just going to say, however long they've been around, I've always thought Crocs are the worst thing that was ever invented. Mm-hmm. But then I got a pair just to wear around my house, and I'm now like, yes.
That's what everyone says.
Is it because you got the high heel kind?
I did. I got the Echoes.
Wait,
they're like,
you really?
They're like thick. They're squishy and very comfy.
Oh, I meant the clogs.
No, I did not get those. Now, these are called the Echoes. They're just like almost like the Hokas of Crocs, basically. If you know, like the Hoka sneakers that are like very thick soled. Anyway,
Hokas are like are they for walking or running?
I don't know if it's for recovery.
They have different ones.
Okay,
yeah, it's very specialized.
The Hokas of Crocs. I don't know how I feel about that sentence. I know.
So are these? Can you put gibbets in them? And
you can.
I
have not, no.
Yes.
But what I realized is, so like we have like hardwood floors in our house, and like in the winter, you know, my feet get cold. But then also like socks get dirty walking around the house. Maybe I should clean my house more often, but I don't. So like going back to socks, it makes my socks last longer because now they're not getting all dirty walking around the floors. But also, my wife recently stubbed her toe so badly, like she broke it. And
ouch.
And I was like, I'm sorry that happened, but
it wouldn't have happened.
If you were wearing my Crocs, you would have been saved. Cause they're like, it's basically like airbags for your feet. Like you can't hurt your feet when you've got these things on.
What was she wearing?
Nothing. She said, you know, socks on.
Nothing at all?
Well, she was wearing clothes.
But okay.
Her feet were nude.
Way more upsetting if it happened in the nude.
Yeah, that would have been.
Interesting.
Comically tragic. Yeah.
Because my kids had Crocs and I had to institute a no Croc policy because I felt like they were kind of making them more clumsy and more accident prone because they're sort of cumbersome.
For children, I could see that being the case, but I think adults can handle, like if
you think you're more coordinated than our children?
I do. I'm sorry to say it, but they were younger then.
Yeah, you probably are.
Yeah, well, but I do object to kids, like, because my son has Crocs, but like, I don't like when he wears them just like going out to dinner or something. That bugs me. Mm-hmm. But
because of decorum?
Yeah. But he mostly wears them like when he's got to go to a soccer game and then he takes them off and puts his cleats on. So he's not wearing his cleats, like walking around. So like that, I think that's what they are for. I mean, they're not, but I feel like to me, that's what they should be for, is like, this is an intermediate shoe. So like, I'm like, I'm like Mr. Rogers. I get home and I take my shoes off and I put my Crocs on and it's a nice little, I just feel like I feel good about it. It makes me feel happy.
Are you like, I can't wait. Like right now, are you like, I cannot wait to get home and get my Crocs on?
Not really. But because like I don't wear like a hard shoe that's very uncomfortable. I wear sneakers. So like I'm comfortable, but it's nice. It's a
self-care ritual.
It is a nice little thing at the end of the day. Yeah.
What color are your Crocs?
They're very boring. They're like a light gray. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get yourself another pair to change?
You know what?
Up?
I had to look up the name of the model to do this segment. Mm-hmm. And when I looked them up, I saw a new color and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. What is the new color?
Well, it's like two-tone. Mine are just gray. Mm-hmm. And these new ones are like, they're more expensive, which I didn't care for.
That's the thing that's frustrating with Crocs. It's like, They should be
$20,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right?
They're like
60. It feels like something that shouldn't be that expensive. Yeah.
What are they made out of? Like old tires?
Old chewing gum.
So these are the new ones that caught my eye.
Okay,
They're
kind of Yeezy-ish.
Unfortunately, yes. But these ones have a black strap with gray, and then the bottom is black. So it's like a two-tone. And I like that.
It looks like a car.
Yeah.
It is like an inflated airbag. Like they're very cushy and there's a lot happening. But if you put them on, you will be like, wow, how have I ever lived without these?
Really? That's what everyone says. I just refuse. I'm the old you.
They're
I refuse
so uncool.
To do it.
They're incredible. They couldn't be less cool. Like they're probably the least cool things you could put on your feet.
I think that those five finger shoes that hug your toe, those are
Vibrams.
Well, they're neck and neck.
I like Crocs. I'm fine with them.
Do you have them?
Mm-hmm. I have worn them for like a walk before and a few times, and I won't do that anymore.
Why?
Because I think it's not good for your feet.
I agree.
My feet don't feel good the next day if I've spent too much time in my Crocs. But I like them for a house slipper, as you kind of use them, because I enjoy slippers also, but you can't go outside with them. So if I'm like, I left that on the porch.
Yep.
Well, what are you going to do now? Go find your sneakers. But with the Crocs on, I'm in and out.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes. Although I do in my head, I'm like, because we have like pine needles outside our house. And I'm like,
don't want to bring those in.
Don't want to get any like sap on my
Croc. Sure. You're avoiding it. You don't want it.
Right. No, I'm very careful if I go outside in them. I also have Croc slides, by the way.
Croc mules.
So like that was the answer. Like I saw the Yeezy slides and I was like, those are cool, but I don't want to buy Yeezys. So I got the Croc version of that. And those are more for like going, if you're going to the beach or going to a pool, like that's a good solution for that.
And what are these called? What's the style?
A slide. It's like, you know.
My
indoor Crocs. Those are Echoes.
Echoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess that just means, I don't know what that means.
I think it's a little military. I think this is the dude.
They're trying to tap
model.
Into that. Yeah. Like Tango, yeah. Charlie, Echo,
yep.
Put your Croc on.
That's my guess for the evolution.
Yeah, probably.
How does your wife feel about them?
Oh, I told her I was going to say this on the show and she said, don't. That's how she feels about it. She's anti. Yeah.
What, like why?
I think, like most people, she thinks they're ugly and embarrassing. So, yeah. And she's right. She's not wrong.
Do you have a shoeless house?
We try to have everybody take them off when they come in, but it's we don't enforce it very well. So
we've never even tried, but I often think we should have done that because we have carpeting in the bedrooms and a not expensive rug, but still it would protect all that so much more. Oh well, next lifetime. What are you gonna do? I mean, I guess we could change, but it feels like a whole thing.
Nah,
I think that about everything.
Everything. Well, everything is a whole thing.
Yeah, true. I could change, but it would be a whole thing.
Yeah,
that's a new. If you ever wanted to rebrand the podcast, everything is a whole thing is a great title.
Everything is a whole thing, and then it's just people talking about how they can't wait to go back to sleep.
Yes, exactly.
This has been delightful. Tony, did you have one?
No, nothing.
No, people
no
send
new,
them in. I thought
no new
send
product
them.
Picks, but I did remember that I do have a Just Me or Everyone.
Yeah,
I know
let's
we already
on.
Got past
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So
no, we can go back.
No, just kidding. In hindsight, Jim on The Office, kind of a dick and a bully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just ranting about this recently.
Were you?
Not that part as much as the fact that I didn't like that they cast a guy who's basically like matinee idol handsome, and they were like, yeah. Oh, but he's a dork and he's schlubby. I'm like, get a real schlub. You're putting schlubs out of work by letting this 6 foot tall guy, like, fuck him. Like, he can have any other role. Why does he have to take this one too?
Right. It really is one of my biggest pet peeves with American entertainment is everybody has to be hot. It gets so confusing. I went back and rewatched Will and Grace, and they make so many jokes about how hideous Grace is, and I'm like, what? What are they? I don't understand. She's very pretty, yeah. But like they make everybody ugly.
Yeah,
and the thing is, everybody attractive.
Like I remember when I started watching that, so I didn't realize. Like I was like, oh yeah, he's a schlub. Like he's got schlubby hair and he's hunched over. But then like they hid it from us. They like they yeah. disguised him as a schlub, only to reveal later, no.
I think his only schlubby quality was he was scared to ask out the girl in the office.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well,
that hair was pretty rough in the early years.
Was it even for the time, though? I can't remember. It was a little better
for the time, but I think even then it was still a little.
What was it? I never really watched. I've seen The Office, but I never watched it regularly. What was it? Like kind of bangs?
Yeah.
Kind of curled out.
Kind of like what the teens are doing now, weirdly. Okay. You know, the broccoli thing, but that's more
curly. Oh, I don't
curly.
Know about the broccoli.
Oh, yeah. Teenage boys like to get the broccoli cut. Yeah, it's kind of like shaggy but curly and like down and, you know, almost over their eyes and then kind of, you know, tight in the on the back and a little on the side. So it's like bush. It's almost like it's like Sideshow Bob, basically.
Okay.
that's the look now. Sideshow Bob. That's what they should call it. But yeah, I don't.
It's like a little mushroom.
Yeah. Just drive by Burroughs any old day of the week and you'll see this haircut.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok of a guy getting a haircut that was like almost an undercut. And then it was a teenager and he got a perm.
Yeah. That's the broccoli. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a crush on a boy in middle school and I got the nerve up to.
Is it okay if I go out with him?
Yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't care.
Thank you.
No violation. And I called him on the telephone and I remember his mom answered and I was like, is he there? And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. No, he's out getting his perm.
that killed your boner.
Yeah. I was like, I thought that was naturally curly hair.
Wow. And you know, if he had been there, he would have been like, mom.
Wow, that is embarrassing.
It's my biggest secret.
I know. Wow. You guys, this has been too much fun. Thank you so much. Eliza, where might we find you?
Various comedy shows all over the place. I'm on social media at Eskins on X or at Eskins on Instagram and at Eliza Skinner on X.
Ugh.
And Matt?
NeverNotFunny.com is where you find everything about that podcast. And that's it. I gave up on social media.
You must be happier.
I don't know.
Just you and your cross. Really? You don't know?
No. Well, I assume I am. But yeah, that's because that's why I quit.
There's so many other things that are bad now also.
That's true. That's why it's hard to quantify. You're like, am I happier? I'm still stressed out about the state of the world. But I'm not. I'm also, at least I'm not comparing myself to my peers as much. I guess that's the main thing.
That's so why you stopped.
Yeah. So. Not to bring it down. Sorry, guys.
No, I
took X off my phone.
I've been thinking so much lately about how, not specifically social media, which is a problem for me, but I just am so addicted to my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a true addiction.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know what would happen, what kind of good things would happen if I could quell it, but it's a whole thing. Whatever the name of my podcast is, I would do it, but it's a whole
Everything's
thing.
Everything's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I heard from a friend, was telling me about a friend of hers that they've decided their family is also addicted. They're going to go to Cuba because there's like very little internet access there, so they can't do that stuff.
Like, are they for vacation moving or there? Moving there?
I think for like a long
long enough time to detox.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
That is extreme.
What if like the month they get there, Cuba gets a new tower?
No. All right, North Korea, here we come.
That's it. We're all in.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Tony, what about you?
Also not much social media these days, but I am Instagram still at
Tony Thaxton.
And Motion City Soundtrack will be on tour at the end of May into June.
all over the place. So come out to those shows.
Wonderful. And I would like to remind everyone, I have a Substack, AllisonRosen.substack.com. Check that out. I've been writing regularly over there. And then also I already mentioned Patreon. You may have noticed I didn't segue this and that way to ads. It's pretty thin right now. So I'm relying on your direct support via Patreon or Substack. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. You can get to all my stuff, AllisonsLinks.com, also AllisonRosen.com. Follow me on everywhere. It's all linked there, but at Allison Rosen on Twitter and Instagram, etc. Thank you so much. This was really fun. Daniel, I didn't even miss him.
You know? I didn't even notice he wasn't here.
Yeah, he hasn't been here for a while. And if he were... Well, I will say, Daniel... under my nose has just metamorphosized into a humongous Taylor Swift fan. He went from not understanding the phenomenon of Taylor Swift to like listening a little bit. And then this new album came out, or albums, and he will not shut up about her. Mm. And we talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. He gave his opinions on it. So if that sounds interesting to you, check out the show that came out Monday, because we went deep into Daniel's all of his Taylor Swift thoughts. And I feel like it's interesting, even if you're not interested in Taylor Swift, which is where I am. And also, two quick corrections. Three Little Pigs song was Green Jelly, not Guar. And mm-hmm. the Touch the Feel of Cotton commercial was Aaron Neville, not whoever I said it was.
Correct.
Thank you, oh. Tony.
You guys talked about jingles?
Do you have jingle thoughts?
Oh, just the baby back. You know, that's NSYNC.
Wait, what?
The Chili's one?
I want my baby back, baby back.
That's NSYNC?
NSYNC?
Yeah.
They performed that jingle?
Yeah.
Well, they were actually in one of the commercials back in the day, weren't they?
Whoa.
I believe so.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
But they still used that one?
I don't know. So someone said that to me while we were shooting Earth to Ned, and I was like, ha ha, yeah, right. And they were like, no, for real. And I looked it up, and it was true. So maybe I am crazy.
No, there was one that they were actually in, yeah. But I don't know if they've continued to use that one.
Joey Fatone on the show. I should have asked him.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know.
I'm going to go down that rabbit hole tonight.
Quick question, and then we're for sure ending the show. Tony... How did you know it was Aaron Neville? Did you look it up, or like you just know?
No, I just know that. Me and a friend kind of joke about Aaron Neville a lot. We find his voice kind of silly.
How did you know it wasn't Guar?
Yeah.
I remember the video well back when it was being shown on TRL.
Was it before it was called TRL, though? Yeah. Well, there's 120 minutes, but...
And Guar.
Guar is
from
a good reference.
Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
I can't... Yeah, I just got it wrong over and over and over. Whatever happened to Green Jelly? Oh, remember they were called Green Jello and they had to change mm-hmm. it?
The drummer on that album is the drummer of Tool.
Oh! There you go. Thank you.
See you later.
Listeners, thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? Allison Rosen is your new best friend.